Blog Talk Radio.
Ha ha ha.
is Will Smith and Drew Hill with Wild Wild West. Good evening. This is Carrie Hines, host of Center Stage, doing a special edition tonight because we decided we had to speak out. There was no way that we could let the verdict that we just heard about the Michael Dunn trial in which he was accused of or has already admitted to killing Jordan Davis. There's just so much about this trial that just does not make sense. And if you have not followed this trial, I'm going to try to bring you up to speed before we go into it tonight. But I think the reason we decided to come in tonight was we realized one thing. Florida's got a problem. And if we don't speak up now, this will continue to happen over and over again. And this is the time. Stand Your Ground has been proven over and over in the state of Florida that it does not work. That law needs to be repealed. And I think, y'all, if you wait until it happens to you or someone you know, I think that's the wrong thing to do. I think now is the time. Last night we covered Black History Month, and we covered strong black women. And I think there were strong black women going all the way back into the 1700s and the 1800s, where they stood up for what they believed in, and they got results. And I think Stand Your Ground is going to be one of those things that we're going to have to stand up as a people and say, this is not working. This law has to be repealed or it has to be revised, or, you know, we're going to have to come together and vote in some new people to make some laws change. I mean, that's just what's going to happen, or it's going to have to happen. I am so pumped right now. Y'all have to forgive me. I mean, I'm just I caught CNN today, and I was just, I mean, I was at a loss for words because it's almost as though the state of Florida is saying that black life has no value. And there's no other way to look at it. But again, if you're not familiar with the Michael Dunn trial, in which he was on trial for killing Jordan Davis and attempting to kill several other teens that were with Davis that night, let me kind of bring you up to speed. A Florida jury found Michael Dunn guilty on 4 of 5 charges in a case in which he was accused of shooting a teenager to death over loud music. But they could not come to a decision on the murder charge, and a mistrial was declared on that count. Dunn was 47. He faced first-degree murder charges for the shooting death of Jordan Davis, who was 17 at the time, in a Jacksonville convenience store parking lot on November 23, 2012. The judge had instructed the jury that they could consider lesser charges, including second-degree murder, manslaughter, justifiable homicide, or excusable homicide. But they said they could not come to an agreement on any of those charges. Dunn was found guilty of 3 counts of attempted murder for shooting at other teens in the car and 1 count of firing a gun into the car. Prosecutors alleged that Dunn fatally shot Davis after he asked the teen and his friends to turn down their music. Dunn testified that he feared for his life and thought Davis was going to kill him, prompting Dunn to pull out his gun and fire 9 times at the car that the teenagers were sitting in. Assistant State Attorney Aaron Wolfson told jurors that Dunn fired round after round after round at Davis and his friends as they sat in their car. She said Davis was inside the SUV when he was killed. Dunn claims the teen had gotten out of the vehicle. In closing arguments, Dunn's attorney said that his client had the right to meet force with force. He said the state had the burden to prove that Davis didn't brandish a gun at Dunn, as Dunn has claimed. Okay, y'all. That's it. So, you know, that's where we are tonight. You know, young man is dead. No gun was found. You know, however, Dunn said he felt threatened. Even though he said the young man was outside of the vehicle, the body was found inside the vehicle. There was no weapon found. So why is it tonight that there was a mistrial declared on the first-degree murder charge? AJ Houston, thank you for riding shotgun tonight. This is unbelievable.
Yeah. But it's not really not unbelievable. It's just consistent.
It's just what?
Consistent.
It's consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because for the first trial with Trayvon to come out the way it did, and then this one, because there's no way that you can just believe that this guy had a shotgun. He had a shotgun where?
Yeah.
And that's what they say, he thought he had a shotgun, so he shot 10 times in a car.
You know,
and nobody fired back at any point in time.
Yes. You know, the state of Florida is just showing that there's no value on black life. And, you know, I really believe, I think there was two black jurors. If it were not two black jurors on this trial, I believe this man would have walked. That's scary. Again, so we would have had another situation in which, you know, another George Zimmerman would be out walking, you know, free. Well, I'm sorry, he wouldn't have been walking free because he got found guilty on the attempted murder charges. But the issue is the murder, the first-degree murder, someone was killed. It's amazing. How can a jury sit and say that we see you guilty of attempting to kill somebody, but we don't find you guilty of killing somebody? That's crazy.
Well, see, the law is not about really guilty or innocent, because guilty or innocent meant that you killed somebody, so you're guilty. The law is about what you can prove or what you can dissolve within the framework of that the law gives you. So that's, you know, that's the problem. But Florida is not the only state with Stand Your Ground. So
oh, no, it's
the only state
most
that we're hearing.
You know, Center Stage has probably covered Stand Your Ground law more than any other talk show on Blog Talk Radio, which is the reason we absolutely had to come in tonight, because it's called Stand Your Ground in Florida, but in other states it may be called the Castle Doctrine or Make My Day Law. But from state to state, the way the law is defined kind of varies, but the gist of it is the same. It's about self-defense and whether or not, you know, in some states you have to retreat, in other states you don't you do have to retreat, in other states you don't have to retreat. And so, like I said, we've covered it many, many times, and each time it comes up, I'm still just shocked that across the board, you know, we have not gone in state to state and revised this law where we clearly define what is a threat, what isn't a threat. You know, to me, I cannot just state that someone looked like they had a gun, then therefore I say I felt like my life was in danger and I take another person's life. That's just not right. I mean,
I definitely agree. But it's always interesting when you listen to somebody else's opinion on the matter, and I'm not saying some other person of ethnic origin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm saying because when you look at the, I hate to say it, but the whole Republican side as far as the war on women, which they say they didn't wage, just that the Democrats were, but all the laws that were changing was trying to refute and change laws that were 30 and 40 years old. And Stand Your Ground has been there for a while, but, you know, when they're taking voting rights and all these other things, we're looking at Stand Your Ground. See, there's a whole slew of things that we really have to address, but we don't address them in a reactionary fashion, so we're not even addressing the total issue.
Yeah. Let's start from the beginning on what allegedly happened. What allegedly happened is that Mr. Dunn and his girlfriend or fiance were in town for his son's wedding. They decide to go to a convenience store to pick up wine and potato chips. They pull in next to Jordan Davis and his friend sitting in an SUV. The SUV in which Jordan Davis was in, the music was very loud. The fiance says that Don said to her, "I hate that thug music." At some point thereafter, he says to the young men in the vehicle, including Jordan, "Can you all turn that music down?" He says they turned it down or turned it off, or at least you couldn't hear the bass anymore, because he claimed the music was so loud at one point that his ears, you know, were vibrating or something, or something. Some claim it was killing his eardrums, let's just say that, and that his rear window his rear mirror or something was shaking. Window, I think his rear window was shaking. That said, they allegedly turned it off or turned it down. And then he claims they turned it back up. And that's when he claims that they start making statements at him, you know, calling him a cracker. And he alleges that Jordan said, you know, that he ought to kill that biatch. And so he then says, are you talking to me? And so, you know, there's a little back and forth. And then at some point, Dunn says he felt in fear of his life because they were looking at him with this menacing stare. And so he decided that he thought, or he alleges, that Jordan Davis had some 12-gauge shotgun pointed at him and hadn't gotten out of the vehicle. So therefore, you know, he felt in fear of his life, and he reaches in his glove compartment and he shoots the young man. You know, just between me and you, AJ, that's a whole lot of conversation if I'm scared. I mean, seriously, if my girlfriend's in the store and I'm in the car and I'm in this much fear, you know, rather than take a man's life, especially when I look like I'm outnumbered, it looks like the best thing for me to do is either call the police or go into the store because my girlfriend or whatever's in the store. So it doesn't look like it just to go one-on-one or go one-on-one with four or five people. You're outnumbered. Why would you do that, AJ? That doesn't even make sense. Logically, it makes no sense unless you think you're a badass.
Well, the thing is I need to see the setup because if he fired 10 shots in the car, was he firing toward the store where he could hit anybody else? Or was it calling the other side to where he found a way to where he could still hit somebody else?
He shot 10 shots, but only 9 hit the car. Only 9, y'all.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but if he was shooting toward the store, a stray bullet could have hit somebody in the store and killed him. Or if he's shooting away from the store, somebody could have been walking and got hit by a stray bullet. I'm saying, it's dangerous for him to just be randomly shooting, you know, that many shots anywhere.
You know what amazed me is that they were saying some people testified that Dunn didn't look like he was angry. Well, either you're angry or you a fool to get your gun and shoot somebody. I mean, if you ain't angry, why are you shooting? I don't even know what was the point of that statement. You know, obviously, if something has triggered something for you to get your gun and start shooting. So if you're not angry, then you're racist or you're something. I mean, because you've already stated that you hate that thug music, you know. So obviously, something has triggered something. You know, whether you look angry is irrelevant. Your actions show that you were angry. It doesn't, if I don't know you from a loaf of bread, how can I define what you look like when you're angry?
Well, Florida already has, I guess, a bounty on black men, which is a not guilty plea.
Yeah. Wow.
So everybody has that same concept now that if somebody look at me wrong or look at me, and I can say I fear for my life and just shoot somebody. That seems like that's where it's going.
Well, I'll tell you what I think about where it's going. I think we're here. I think we as African Americans need to be smart because it absolutely seems like that the state of Florida is baiting black people into a race war. You know what I'm saying? And or revolution or whatever you want to call it. And I absolutely say don't bite that. Don't even allow them to take you there. Instead, the best way to beat a joker is pen and paper, and your vote at the box. I mean, seriously, because otherwise it's just going to be some more bloodshed. It's going to be some more folks going to jail, and that's not the way to win this war because it will happen again and again until we take on the state of Florida and say no more. What you do now at this point, I'm sorry.
No, finish.
No, what you do at this point is you show the state of Florida, you know what, I'll beat you with pen and paper and my dollars and my vote at the ballot box. So no longer will I buy or spend my dollars in the state of Florida If I don't live there, I don't spend there. If I don't live there, I don't vacation there. Florida gets nothing else until they decide that there's some value to black life. That's how I look at what's going on in Florida. And if black people are smart, we won't go kill another white person in revenge for what happened to Jordan Davis. Instead, we'll take the other route. Would you agree with that, AJ?
Kind of sort of, but I think it's already escalated pretty far. But I'm quite sure that the next white person that go reach for a gun, he's going to run into somebody that has a gun, too.
Wow. See, AJ, that's fear but see.
What I'm saying is you'll see how the courts react when the roles are on a different foot.
Hmm. But see, why do we have to go there again
I'm not telling anybody to go there. I'm saying that's where it's going because if for it to happen this soon after the first time in the same state, that means that there's other people thinking that it's free, you know, that if I feel like I'm afraid of some young black guy because all black guys got a gun, all of them got shotguns, all of them got whatever, you know, and they look like thugs and they look like whatever, even though they're not, it's already at that point to me to where somebody else is going to go and thinking that their life is in danger, and it's not, but they're going to lose their life because they're going to go like he did, go to glove department, pull out a gun, thinking they're the only one with a gun. But all I'm saying is that something's going to happen to where the person that thinks they need to pull out a gun first is not going to be the only person with a gun. That's the only
thing. And you're probably right. But again, the reason we started off with Wild Wild West is because that's what the state of Florida has become, in my opinion, the Wild Wild West. Everybody's got a gun, and everybody, the minute you look at them wrong, they go pull their gun and they shoot you, and they declare, you know, they felt like their life was in danger, so therefore they kill you. And it's like whoever gets to their gun first.
None of the black people has been killed so far had a weapon of any type, so everybody don't have a gun.
Well, obviously, in every scenario, somebody was carrying a gun.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, you know, the NRA and, like, all the people that had guns were the ones that fired the guns. The only point I'm making is that at some point in time, they're going to run into somebody that also has a license to carry a gun.
So
when they go for their gun, it's like, okay, so now my life is threatened because this person saw I was black. He thought his life was threatened because I was black. But I'm a black man with an NRA license to carry a gun, so I'm saying that's where it's going, or that's what's going to happen, and I think that's where everybody's going to review it in a totally different light when you see a white man get killed by a young black man or an older black man or whoever because his life was threatened, and then see how the court rules in that decision.
But see, I'm afraid that what's going to happen is that young black man is going to be found guilty. Whereas every scenario where a white person or Hispanic person, as George Zimmerman tries to identify himself as, they walk. And this is the problem that I have with the whole scenario. In Florida, obviously something's wrong with the way people look at the law. And so if people cannot clearly understand what the law means, then the law needs to be changed because this law is involving people who are shooting other people and killing other people. So I think it's a shame that there's a law in the books where you can kill somebody and you don't even understand before you pull out the gun and start shooting what the law means. I mean, in each scenario, we keep getting these explanations for what this person thought. Well, I thought, you know, he said, first of all, Trayvon Martin had a hoodie on. Now this young man, Jordan Davis, is dead because he played loud music and he said he had a menacing look when he looked at him. First of all, why are you asking for confrontation? I have many times pulled up to next to someone who had music extremely loud. You know what I do? I move my car. You know what I'm saying? Or I go somewhere else because I don't like the atmosphere. If it's not my business, if it's not my home, I have no right to ask another person to turn their music down. It's not my right. I mean, it's just not your right, AJ. You can't pull up next to me and not like the fact that I'm playing Christian music really loud and tell me to turn it down. That's really not your right. Can we agree on that?
No, I'm saying I'm in agreement, but I'm saying, but there's this, I guess, just like we were talking last night about how there used to be this respect factor, or this factor that it wasn't all about me, or this factor that we are this unit, or that I was considerate of other people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the loud music comes in. You know, if you're considerate of other people, you don't, you know, turn your key off because you have your stereo set up to where your music still plays. Because I've asked some people to turn their music down.
Mm-hmm. You know,
because I was like, man, you know, I say, you know, if I had requested the song, I wouldn't mind. But, you know, your key's out of the car, you out of the car, but your music's still blasting as though everybody else wanted to hear the song you were listening to. You know, and I really think that's a flaw. I really think that's a problem, that we don't care about other people.
But you know what?
You know what I'm saying? This
generation.
That's not the case.
Well, what would you have done if they had done exactly what these young people, is being truthful in what he said. They turned the music down and then they turned the music back up. Would that have caused an altercation, or would you have just said, okay, they're young and, you know, they ain't mature, so I'm just going to leave it alone?
Well, see, the thing is, I think we have a whole era where you say, there's no strong black man, but when a black man is strong, he should have the authority to talk to the young men in his neighborhood with respect factor. So if I'm respecting them, I don't see why it wouldn't be, well, I wouldn't give respect back. So I don't see how, you know.
I don't know, AJ, but today we talked about this last night on the show. This is a different generation. I mean, in our generation, if an older person walked up and told us to cut the music down, we did. But in this generation, you know, it's so much that they weren't taught, you know, because they're a product of parents who were on drugs, or parents who were too young to raise children themselves, or a number of things going on in which, you know, they just weren't raised right. So in some cases. And so if that's the case, you know, someone who their whole life has been just messed up, how can I get mad at that person because they don't know how to respect a person who's a little older? I mean, I would, first of all, not ask you to turn your music down. I would not. I know me. I would not. But let's just say for whatever reason, if I did and the person chose to turn it down and then turn it back up, I would take that, y'all, I know me. I would take that as an omen. I really believe in signs because I really believe in one scripture in the Bible, really, 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 I live by it. There's always warning before destruction. And so I would have looked at that as a sign when they turn the music down and then turn the music back up, it's time to go. That's me. I would have said, that's a sign, it's time to go. And I would have put my keys in my car and I'd have started blowing my horn for that person in the store to come out of there. I wouldn't got him out of the store and I would have took off. That's me. Because I tried to avoid confrontation. You know, some things, you know, it's like choose your battles. It's not worth fighting over. You know, if you want to call them ignorant, if you want to call them young and stupid, whatever, you know, I would have just chalked it up to that. Oh, they just young and stupid. You know, a bunch of ignorant kids out having a good time. Oh, well. And I would have let it go. I know me. Because I just think we, you know, as adults, we got bigger fish to fry than arguing with a group of kids, you know, I mean, who are out having a good time. I mean, and then, you know, kids are silly when they get together. So you just go, oh, they just clowning in front of their friends, and you let it go. You know, that's just me. And I'm emotional tonight because I've done so many Stand Your Ground shows, and they all come back to the same point. The law needs to be changed. The law absolutely needs to be changed. And I cannot understand how we keep coming to the same place and nothing's being done, you know, and it's as though, you know, the state of Florida is saying we don't care. We don't have a value on black life. And so if one of, you know, yours ends up dead, they just dead. That's just what it seems to me. I mean, you don't agree with that, AJ?
Well, I agree with the state of Florida, but I'm saying earlier, see, what I was saying is, just like you say, you know, I guess so many people consider the youth in our community already lost, that there's no reason to try. And that's what I hear all the time is that, you know, well, you know, I wouldn't do nothing with them. They they're lost. They, you know, nobody can recover. They're at recovery point. But I think when they see what a man is and what a man looks like, and they hear how you sound when you show them respect and you ask for respect back, I think there's a point to where it's given, it's equal, it's mutual. But I don't think you just go in with a give up attitude, saying no, I'm not going to talk to them because they're in a group, and you know, I'm not saying that I think he approached it wrong. I'm saying I don't know how you asked him to turn the music down or whatever, but when they turned the music down, evidently they complied, and when they turned it back up, so that was probably, they were probably getting ready to leave. So it's,
you know, he
I don't
even says
really
we're
going to had anything to do with him.
We're going to go to the phone lines in a second, but he says they called him a cracker. Again, y'all, warning comes before destruction. If I was pulled up in a parking lot and a group of young white boys called me the N-word, trust me, I would not appreciate it. But I would think of all the life that I have still ahead of me before I pull out a gun and shoot one. I go, you know what? They young, they stupid, you know, they tripping with each other, you know, they, your kids are silly, and I would have let it go. Because I would have seen my life flash in front of me, and I would have thought to myself, nope, I'm not going to let it end like this. And I would have decided at that moment that I was going to be the bigger person, even if they called me the N-word. And I've been called the N-word, y'all, once in my life. I have been called the N-word. And guess what? It was by a group of white boys in a car. It really was, at a light in Memphis, Tennessee. I was in a suburb of Memphis, and I was running late getting back to work from lunch, was at the red light. We had the turn signal, and the car in front of me was sitting there. And I think they were talking amongst themselves, and they just didn't realize the arrow had turned green for us to go. And I blew my horn. That agitated them so bad that when we made the light, they pulled beside me about four young white males, and they called me a nigger. They did. And, y'all, I went back to work trembling. I went back to work trembling because, you know what, I was so angry. I was so angry, I really felt like doing something to somebody. But you know what? That was the young Carrie. I was much younger then. Now I know better. But back then, I was stupid. And so I've been called a word before, but I didn't react like that. I didn't react like that. And so if they called him a cracker, as he said they did, it still wasn't worth taking somebody's life. We're going to go to the phone lines. Area code 972-801. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Hey, good evening, Carrie. I'm enjoying your show today.
Good evening. How you doing?
Hey, I am doing good. You guys are really talking about some good topic, and I'm glad you guys brought this up tonight. And I definitely agree with everything you're saying, Carrie, that, you know, if you can avoid a confrontation, try to avoid it. If these guys riding by you in a car, and especially these young people. I know how these young people are. They don't care if you're grown. They don't care if you old school, new school. They will do something to you. So these young people today are not like the young people back in the day. And so you better be very careful when you're dealing with these young people. And that's no lie. You have to be very careful when it comes down to dealing with these young people. I was at a club last night, and when I say that, you just, because what you got to understand, you just don't know what them young people are going through in their personal life, and it only takes one time for them to click, and you can be dead. So if you can avoid it, now I can understand if it was like a neighbor or something like that. Yeah, you gotta have some kind of respect to cut your music down. But if it's in the streets, come on now, you ain't gonna be probably by that car only maybe about a second or two, then you gone because it's in the streets. Now if it's in a neighborhood residential like close to you. And you like right next up to it, then yeah, you have as much right to say something much as you can. But if you can, don't even approach him. Just call the police. Let the police have it. That's what this man should have did. If he had that kind of problem with these young guys, maybe he should have called the police. That probably would have been the best thing for him to do, was to call the police and gone down the road. Like you always say, Carrie, gone down the road. But that would have been the best thing for this man to do.
I think he's lying about the fact that he wasn't angry, because by his own account, his own testimony, he says that he told Jordan Davis, you're not going to kill me tonight, you SOB. He said, Don told Jordan Davis, you're not going to kill me, you SOB. Now, I'll be honest with y'all, if I call somebody an SOB, it would be because I'm pretty angry. So, his testimony is very contradictory, in my opinion, because, he said the boy was outside of the car, yet, the man was found dead inside the car. He said the boy had a gun, yet there was no gun found. It just many things. Oh. Say what?
Wow.
Yeah, it was many things about
that. That is scary.
It's scary in the fact that if I don't like you, or if I have a confrontation with you, all I have to do, based on this 10-year ground law in Florida, is say that you look like you had a gun. So therefore, I felt my life was I was in fear of my life, and so therefore I killed you. That simple. AJ, would you agree with that?
I'm saying I think when there's only one story to be told, that's the only story here.
But that's not true. What about all the young boys in the car? What did they say?
No, I'm saying, but the thing was is they probably wasn't listening to what the two of them were saying to each other until he got in the car and said, this man said whatever. So I'm talking about that part of the conversation.
But they're saying that I thought they were saying the boy never got out of the car. It's Don's testimony that he got out of the car. But everybody else is saying that Jordan Davis never got out of the car.
This man could have been already looking for trouble, too.
He could. And, you just don't know. I mean, it seems like Don is not being truthful. Don said that he told his girlfriend, first of all, he shoots 9 times into a car. One time, I don't know where the other bullet went, so 10 shots total. He leaves the scene, goes back to the hotel, orders pizza and some wine. Then his girlfriend is hysterical because she's like, oh, my God, what the heck just happened? And she's wanting to go home. So he takes her home 175 miles away. And then the next morning is when he allegedly turns himself in. Now, y'all, I'm sorry, but if there had been a black person that did that, just the fact they left the scene would have automatically made them guilty.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. You're right.
I mean, so I'm just trying to understand in Florida, it just seems like the scale is not balanced. I mean, that system, that judicial system needs an overhaul, because it just seems like, it's not, I don't think it's accidental that they're picking these juries that are so, I mean, I don't know, these people are either stupid that they're putting on the jury, or they're hand-picking these people that they know are absolutely going to come back with these crazy verdicts. And it's amazing how the jury makeup is always so suspect. Does that make sense to y'all, or is it me?
It makes a lot of sense. You're right.
Let's go back to the phone line. Someone's got a blocked number. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Hi. This is the first I'm hearing of this particular type of case. I was reading what you had in the description page, and I want to ask you this. Was the person who perceived that his life was in danger, they found not just him, but the black teenagers, they found no weapon in the car, right?
Right.
Okay. As part of the trial, did this guy, the guy that was the defendant, did he say that they pointed something at him besides a rifle that made him feel he was in fear of his life?
He said that the young man that he killed pointed a 12-gauge shotgun at him, which was not found at the scene.
Right. They couldn't find that. But But as part of the testimony during the trial, did he say that he thought that a 12-gauge What looked like a 12-gauge shotgun was pointed at him. That's what he said?
Yeah, that's what he said.
No, it looked like the guy had a shotgun.
It looked like the guy had a shotgun. Did they find anything in the car that was long, like a broomstick?
No.
Okay,
no,
then
no.
I'm gonna have to think that, because I'm reading a description page, like I said, and it seems to me the prosecutor made some decent arguments there. Like he didn't have a gun. He had a big mouth. He shot not for his life, but to save his pride. I think what they did, they just picked jurors who were probably predisposed towards voting not guilty.
Really?
Yeah.
And you would that juror based on what?
Well, based upon what I just heard the last 30 seconds of your conversation and reading what's in the description page, because if I was a juror, I would have wanted to find out, okay, this guy believes something was pointed at him. What was found? They didn't find the gun, okay. So is it possible that somebody within the van actually did point something out? Because sometimes kids like to be mischievous, and they like to try to create some kind of fear. And did they point something long at him, like a broomstick or, I don't know, a tire iron or something, and made this guy feel uncomfortable? Because let me tell you, if I'm in a car and I see a bunch of kids over there, and the kids, they got loud music, and something comes out of the window, and it's long, it's thin, and it's pointed at me, I'm going to fear for my life. But they didn't
Okay, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question. Are you Caucasian? Because I'm just assuming you sound, and that's probably
I'm American. Let's just go by that. Let's try to make this stereo.
That's
because
it.
This could go either way. This could go for blacks, whites, Spanish.
No. I'm just trying to set up a certain. I was just trying to set up a certain scenario. But
let's just say, all right.
Mm-hmm. Let's just say hypothetically you're Caucasian.
Okay.
And you drive into a convenience store parking lot, and you see a carload of black young males having a good
right.
time playing their music loud. Do you ask them to turn their music down?
What kind of community? White or black?
See, they didn't state that, so I don't know. Let's just say it must have been a halfway decent area. You know, looking from the pictures I see on the news, it looks like a decent area. So let's just say it's an okay area.
I wouldn't, if I'm in a, did this happen at a convenience store or where?
It was at a convenience store. And you're out of town. You actually live 175 miles away. So you're just in town for your son's wedding. So, you know, and all you're going to do is go into the store to get some chips and some wine.
Okay.
Do you really want to
right.
have this conversation
because, again, from what you're describing, and it appears as though both the car and the van, they were just there for a temporary stop, right, just to buy something and just to leave.
They have not said why the young kids were there, but we know why Mr. Dunn was there.
Okay, Let's say I'm Dunn. I'm Mr. Dunn.
Okay.
If I'm going to a store and I'm just there to buy something, I'm going to keep my mouth shut, regardless of whether it's a good neighborhood or a bad neighborhood, because I'm going to go there for 30 seconds or a minute or 5 minutes, do my shopping, and just leave.
So if your girlfriend is in the store and you're in the car by yourself, do you really, as a hypothetical Caucasian male, confront a carload of young black males about their music?
No. Uh-uh.
Even if it's music you consider thug music?
No.
Okay.
No.
So nothing about this makes sense.
Someone in your comment. Now, if the kids said something to my girlfriend, that's different. But if the kids are just playing their music loud, and I don't like hip-hop, I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Okay, let me ask you this. So let's just say hypothetically, you didn't keep your mouth shut that night, and you did ask them to cut their music down. So if they turned the music down temporarily and then they turned the music back up and then let's just say you thought they called you a cracker.
Okay.
You know.
Is that part of the testimony?
Really turn around and say, are you talking to me?
That's possible. Okay. Yeah, that's very
you
possible.
What?
Yeah, that's very possible. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's very possible. But you shouldn't open up your mouth to a bunch of kids, black or white, with loud, you know, in a van. You see about four or five or six or seven, and you say, can you keep your music down at a convenience store or wherever the incident was, because you're only there to shop for 5 minutes.
Right.
was tolerated for 5 minutes. Now, if they're in the white community that I live in, okay, and I'm perceiving these kids as being troublemakers, I might say that because, hey, you don't do that in my community. Do it in your freaking community. But
now, see, then you would be assuming that they didn't live there.
Right, exactly. Because if it's a white community and not a lot of blacks are in there, right? Okay?
You would be assuming that's because they were black, they didn't live in a white community.
Right.
But see,
exactly.
And I'm not picking on you, but I think what you're showing is sometimes, you know, that you do have things in the back of your mind, even though you may not know that they're there, but they're hidden. Certain feelings that you may have, and I'm sure the point that I'm making is that I think Dunn had some of those same kind of feelings. I hate this kind of music. You know, I think it's thug music, and he probably assumed that those kids were thugs. And for whatever reason, he thought that he was in a community in which he could say something to them.
Well, I have to agree with him. Again, if it's what he might have perceived as being a white community, he's probably saying, maybe I don't even live here, but what are these kids doing here playing that kind of freaking music? It's very possible he could have thought that. That to me is not surprising to me. But it's a stupid cracker no matter what. A stupid black guy, if a bunch of white kids are in a predominantly black neighborhood and the black kids, they want to play Foreigner, if they want to play some old Elvis Presley or the Stones, and they're playing the music that loud, I don't have any doubt that some black guy would say that to a bunch of white kids. But let's get back to this real case. This guy did not belong to this particular community himself, right?
No.
Right.
He lived 175 miles away.
Right. So if he didn't live there and he believed that it was a white community, what he had was probably a lot of prejudice. But that prejudice led to a freaking stupid guy in a five-minute incident. I couldn't say provoke it, but let's say he said to put the music down. Maybe people might want to say he should have kept his mouth shut because that might have been some sort of provocation. The thing is, if you're going to be there for 5 minutes and leave, go there for 5 minutes and leave.
Well, you know what it speaks to me, what speaks to me about this whole thing is that your girlfriend is in the store playing something, and you're out there acting like you're at the Wild Wild West. If you were in fear for your life, wouldn't you be concerned that your girlfriend or fiancé could have got caught in a crossfire?
Sure, I mean, if you're thinking... This guy obviously was a moron.
Yeah, he was.
Because again, 5 minutes. 5 minutes. I don't like hip hop except for a few artists. But most hip hop I just don't. And I like Eminem and I like Mystical before he went to jail, you know, and I like
Okay, so you know a little hip hop.
The old school hip hop.
Yeah, I just don't like hip hop. Well, I don't like a lot of rock music either, you know. But the thing is that regardless, if I'm going to go someplace and I'm a stranger in that community myself, why would I open up my mouth unless I'm an absolute moron? And this guy is a moron who got very lucky, and the prosecutor could not fill that jury box with people who could think in accordance with the law. That's why I called that. I believe that the jury. Now, how many black people were on the jury?
Two. And they hung the jury on the first degree murder count, and I really applaud them because I know, you know, for me it wouldn't have took no courage, but maybe for somebody else it took some courage to stand up to those people, because I think pretty much they went in, everybody already deciding which way they were going to go, and so I think from what all indicators, nobody shifted. You know, so
but then
after
if it was a hung jury, how did he get acquitted? Did they go to another trial?
No. He didn't get acquitted. No. He got the hung jury was on the first count, which was the first degree murder. But he was found guilty on counts 2, 3, 4, and 5, which was attempted murder, 3 counts of attempted murder, and 1 count of firing into a vehicle.
Oh, so he did get convicted of some sort of charge then.
Yeah. And he may face up to 60 years in jail.
Oh, okay. All right.
And if they run...
I'm sorry, I happen to believe in the stand your ground law. But this guy, the reason why I called in is because I think he abused it. Nothing was sticking out. They didn't find anything that resembled a gun that was sticking out of the van. So he, of course, is going to try to use the same kind of defense that Zimmerman got off on. And, you know, but the prosecutor, he actually made, according from your description, he actually made some sort of decent argument. I happen to think that the jury was practicing bias.
Well, I'm going to ask you one last question, caller, and I'm going to let it go. On Stand Your Ground, you say you believe in that law.
Yeah.
What is it that you believe so much in? Because Stand Your Ground, obviously, you know, and I mean, basically the base of the law makes perfectly good sense to me, that you have a right to meet force with force, or mm-hmm. if you feel that your life is in danger. I think the problem I have with Stand Your Ground is, obviously, it's not defined well enough for the average person to understand what a reasonable threat is. Because just because I think you look like you have a gun, that doesn't seem like a reasonable that doesn't seem reasonable to me to kill somebody. I should know. I should be able to say, I know you had a gun, and when the police show up, the gun ought to be on the scene.
Well,
so
okay,
I
now
think,
you bring up
go ahead.
Now you bring up a good point. I say, for example, I get into an argument with somebody, and he reaches behind his belt buckle for something. I'm not going to wait for him to draw out a stick of gum or a cell phone or a gun in order for me to act.
But AJ Houston, but now you hear what he's saying about he thought if somebody's reaching behind themselves. Is that reasonable just because they reach at something behind them and you think it's a gun to shoot him?
It's been reasonable for police down in Dallas for the longest.
Well, that's a different thing. See, cops, they take advantage. I've seen videos where a guy is walking away from a cop with a cell phone and they shoot him in the back. I happen to think that when they shot the kid on that BART station a couple of years ago, that was just out-and-out murder, okay? And they have other videos where they're shooting black kids or they're shooting other kids, and the cops make up this ubiquitous defense about, I was in danger. Well, you can't be in danger. The guy's not facing you, and he has his hands up in the air, and he has what's clearly a cell phone. And even if it was not clearly a cell phone, if the guy is like 10 feet away from you, not facing you, you are not in danger for your life. But they're taught to do that. Those are cops. Now, you're talking about me as a civilian. I'm about to get into a fight with somebody. He reaches behind his belt, right? His hand is now behind his back. I'm not going to wait.
That's different.
But okay, then that speaks to another scenario. You know, in both of these situations with the Zimmerman case and with this Michael Dunn case, if you start an altercation, it does not seem reasonable to me that I can start an altercation and then shoot someone who doesn't have a weapon and say that I was defending myself. And that's the problem I have with Stand Your Ground. I can start the altercation, chase you down and start it, and then turn around and say, but I was in fear for my life, so I had to kill the person. That doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't on its face, but when you think about it, even if I start some sort of altercation, right, I start the fight. The fight is supposed to remain a fight. You're supposed to beat each other down to the ground and then get up and walk away. You got some broken bones, something like that. Because if you're good with your fist or you're not good with your fist, that's the outcome. But if somebody's going to introduce a knife or a concealed weapon, I happen to believe that everybody should carry either concealed or non-concealed weapons. I believe everybody has the right to bear arms. But if you're going to go for that gun, then that's the risk that you take by adding something into the fight. If you're going to fight,
then Zimmerman was wrong because Trayvon Martin didn't have a weapon. And allegedly, per Zimmerman, if you were to believe the lies that he told, that he was being beaten in a fair fight. And he chose to use a weapon. So, you know.
Well, he was in,
yes.
Supposedly he was in fear of his life because his head was getting bashed in. Now, the fly in the ointment was that there wasn't any DNA on Trayvon Martin, and there wasn't any blood on Trayvon Martin, but there were witnesses which, you know, did not buttress the prosecutor's case. And according to the admonition given by the judge, because I had read what the judge had instructed the jury to do, the jurors were right in that particular decision because of the way that the instructions were given to them. But when you take a look at how the prosecutor, neither the prosecutor nor the defense team, because I had seen about, and this probably isn't a true representation of what went on in the trial, but I had seen about an hour and a half of the trial. And neither the prosecutor nor the defense gave what I consider to be good legal representation for the state nor for the defense. Mm-hmm. You know. But again, it is another thing, too. I hope nobody gets put on trial, because I was on a jury a few years ago, and of the jury pool that I was selected to be in, there was 34 of us. I think four, at the most six of us, knew how to speak English.
Mm.
And I'm going to tell you now.
But you're not going to tell me they put people on a jury that couldn't speak English. They don't do
they
that.
They did not. It wasn't as obvious as no comprende inglés, you know, for 24/7. But what it was that there were people who supposedly were bilingual, and they misinterpreted what the lawyers were telling them. So the lawyers had to repeat, you know, their particular side of the case. I wasn't selected to be part of the permanent jury pool.
They couldn't even understand jury instructions, is what you're saying.
They couldn't understand, not the jury instructions, the judge wasn't there. But there were two lawyers who were trying, you know, for the voir dire, they were trying to find out, you know, who they could pick for the jury. And they were giving their particular side of the case in general ways to the jury to find out if the jurors could understand what they were talking about. I remember in particular, one guy was going, yes, yes, yes. And he was saying yes to questions that the lawyer wanted no, no, no to. Because
But see, that speaks to the fact that we as a people have got to stop passing on jury duty. You know, we got to stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they call you, you need to get down there because it's your duty. Because today it may be somebody else who needs you to sit in the jury box, but tomorrow it may be you needing somebody to sit in the jury box for you. So you got to be careful with this jury duty thing, always trying to get out of it. Maybe sometime you should do your rightful duty and go down and sit on the jury. We're going to go to area code 314-381. Good evening. You're on center stage. 314-381. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Hello. How's everybody?
Hey,
fine, how are you?
Fine. Hello, Joe. How you
doing?
Hey,
Bianca, how you doing?
Going fine. It's cheery. You know, the topic of your show, I would say stand your ground law is not to blame for the man's murder.
Oh, you know I think it is. You know why I say that? I say that because stand your ground is this cocky defense it's a defense that cocky people know that they can use to kill people. So that's why I say it's to blame, because if he didn't think that he could hide behind self-defense and stand your ground, he probably would not have chose that altercation that night, and he probably wouldn't have shot into that car.
Well, he had a concealed weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody, people have concealed weapons. And Florida put that law in place, which is used actually by all races, not all races, but all ethnicities down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, I think the big problem is in the lawyers and the prosecutor, defense and the prosecutor, especially the prosecutor. That prosecutor department office there, is totally, it needs to be replaced.
It's incompetent, isn't it?
Pardon me?
It's incompetent.
Well, yes, and not only that one, a lot of them are. You know, like in Chicago, where they had the infamous contest in the Cook County prosecutor office called Nigger by the Pound. whether they would bring in black victims, not black victims, but black accusees, put them on a scale, weigh them, tally up the weight, and whoever brought in and charged 4,000 pounds worth of black meat before the 30-day period ran out, they won the office pool. So that's within the prosecutor's office there. And these prosecutors, they have this immunity. And some people say it's not as great as it used to be. But that's where the problem relies. Just like Joe mentioned, he was on the jury and couldn't, less than six of the people on the jury with him could speak English.
That's a serious problem.
This is the same prosecutor's office that tried the Trayvon Martin case, if y'all are not up to speed. Exactly the same prosecuting office.
Yes, and in the Trayvon Martin case, they were working on behalf of Trayvon Martin. They was prosecuting Zimmerman.
And neither one of them gave what I consider to be a good persuasive argument, you know. So, you know, the jury is very, very important. Everybody says you'd like to have a fair trial where you'd like to have jurors who are supposedly rational, which would be great if you could get that, but who would supposedly start off as being fair to begin with. That's not going to happen. If I'm accused of a crime, I want my lawyer to stuff that jury with all kinds of people who are predisposed towards my case. And so does the ADA.
But see, you know, something's wrong here. Because if with Dunn never told his fiancée, Perher, that he saw a gun. But he says in his defense the man had a 12-gauge shotgun, which was never found. So if you believe the fiancée, he never told her that the guy pulled a gun on him. And they never found the gun. So why is it that people are still saying, well, maybe the gun, the other teens threw it away, or you know, maybe he believed that there was a gun. Hey, how about we believe that there really was no gun, and he's just using that as his defense?
Well, you can
because,
why don't we just go with
what we can prove? I think that's what I have a problem with all of these cases, the Trayvon Martin case and this Dunn case. Everything is I thought. Well, Zimmerman said, I thought Trayvon this, and I thought Trayvon was going to kill me, and I thought Trayvon was going to, you know. What about were they able to prove in court? They were able to prove that there was no gun.
Well, here's the thing.
They were able to prove that the boy died inside the car, not outside the car. The man's fiance says he never told her the boy pulled a gun on him. So why don't we look at it then like maybe he's guilty? Maybe he was a hothead who got mad because they were playing music and he says they called him a cracker, so he felt disrespected because they turned the music back up after they had initially turned it down, and he decided that he was going to, you know, be a badass that night. And he killed a person as a result of it. I think that's what the evidence shows.
And that's why he was convicted of the lesser charges. When you're trying to convict somebody of first-degree murder, it's very, very hard to do that. However, what you're talking about is that perception should not be introduced into a trial. I happen to disagree with that. I happen to believe, again, as the situation I brought up before, if I get into a fight with somebody, even if I start it, if that person is reaching behind his belt, right, I am going to think he's not reaching for a cell phone, he's not reaching for a stick of gum, he's reaching for a knife or a gun. And if I have something available, like if I'm in a bar, if I can pick up a whiskey bottle and smash it over his head before he gets his hand from behind his back, then I think I should be able to do that. Now, again, you're also right.
You said first-degree murder was hard to prove, but the judge gave instructions that the jurors could also consider lesser charges like second-degree murder, manslaughter, or I think it was second-degree murder or manslaughter, or I think the other charge was justifiable homicide or whatever that homicide is where you don't basically find them guilty of homicide. So they had other choices, but they said that they couldn't find anything.
I thought you
what was the makeup of the jury?
The lesser charges.
Two blacks and the rest, I'm assuming, were Caucasian.
And what? And then I guess you didn't see. You didn't. We don't have no indication of which way the jurors voted, huh?
No, they didn't. But you can kind of. You know what? I think now you and I know that there ain't gonna be two black people in Florida after Trayvon Martin is gonna get on the jury like that, and find that Joker not guilty.
But didn't you say that he was convicted of the lesser charges? He had to face, what, 6 years, 60 years in jail? Which one?
Right. He was found guilty with three counts of attempted murder and one count of shooting into a car. Well, this is the problem I have. How is it that the same nine bullets, one of those nine bullets killed a man and the other eight just flew by the other people in the vehicle, but you can find him guilty of attempted murder, yet you don't see him guilty of killing somebody? That's crazy.
Well, I don't understand that either. So how many years he got? Have you been sentenced yet?
No, they haven't said it, but I think they said if the charges are to run consecutively, it would be 20 years on each attempted murder, and then I think it's 15 years on that shooting into a car. So he could possibly serve 75 years.
Is that the same time that that girl got when she fired the gun in the house? One shot?
You know what? I think they gave her 20 years, didn't they, or something like that? You're
Is
talking
that
about
the,
Marissa
yeah.
Alexander. But yeah, I think they gave her 20 years.
Is that the one where she shot the roof? She was inside the house, had an intruder, shot a warning shot in the roof, and got convicted?
No. That's the one who her and her husband had all kind of domestic issues, and she felt threatened one day, and she said she shot a warning shot at him so that he would leave her alone. That's Marissa Alexander. And I think she's facing a new trial.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, it's very difficult to find a white jury that's going to find a white person. It ain't difficult. It's a lot easier today than it was 40 years ago. Find a white person guilty for killing a black person. I mean, that's just the way it is in this country. Things are getting better as societies go on, whereas it would become more just. But that situation, I mean, everybody ain't like Joe now. Too bad.
That's a sad commentary. I'm sorry. That's a sad commentary. Listen, if you just tuned in, you come to the stage tonight for the topic, Florida Stand Your Ground Law to Blame for the Murder of Jordan Davis. If you want to weigh in on tonight's conversation, and I would love to hear from you, call us up at 347-850-8396.
Especially in Florida.
Yep.
Especially in Florida.
Especially in Florida. If you are in the state of Florida, I would love to know, especially if you're a black person, how are you not already on the first thing smoking coming out of there? Because obviously there is a problem with the state of Florida valuing black life. I just don't see them putting or assessing any value to black life in Florida. Uh-huh. It just seems to me that every time a black person is killed, some kind of way, it's just accident. It's just, you know, it happened. I mean, and it's like, move on. You know,
I
caught so much.
That just got to die out. You got a white generation that just got to die out.
Well, I don't think it's going to be replaced. Well, no, I may be wrong because there are kids growing up who are, you know, so-called liberals who have been mixed with blacks as they've been growing up in school, and they see the black perspective. Yeah, but the thing is that I happen to agree that in probably still in the Deep South. You know, they have the Confederate flag, and the Confederate flag, I happen to believe, has two particular issues to it. One of it is Confederate sovereignty, which I don't have a problem with, okay? State, people who believe that they should be sovereign from the federal government. But the other meaning of the flag, of course, is we didn't like the release of slavery. We didn't like the freedom of blacks from their, you know, and so-called indentured servitude, and we're going to take it out on future blacks. So I happen to believe that Florida and the Deep South, and probably all around the United States as well, I mean, there's always going to be some sort of ingrained prejudice against not only blacks, but trashy whites, Hispanics, et cetera. And that's just the way it is. People...
Well, let me ask you this. Should every black person in Florida arm themselves? Black person get a bucket load of bullets and a gun to protect yourself so the next white person who decides to get upset because you got your music loud or because you're wearing a hoodie, when he comes with his force, you meet him with force? Is that the way it should be?
Yep. That's the way it should be.
AJ Houston?
Well, I'm saying I wasn't saying everybody need to arm themselves. I'm saying, but that's going to be the next incident. Is somebody going to run up on somebody that has a concealed weapons license too? Because you have people. See, a gun. When you carry a gun, it kind of gives you a little side courage, just in case kind of courage, just in case you need it. And it's like in Florida, they think they need it all the time.
Well, what they need in Florida. What they need in Florida is open carry, and that would what this gentleman just got through saying, that would eliminate that.
Well, you know what? I'm going to go here with you. First of all, learn the law. Every black person in Florida needs to re-stand your ground, understand it, and treat it like your favorite Bible scripture. Learn stand your ground law. Then go get a permit to carry a gun, and then or what do you call it, your license to carry, your permit to carry, and then go get you a gun and some bullets. That's what you need in Florida. Since it has turned into the Wild Wild West, everybody needs to have their arms. I'm sorry. This has
yeah.
got to stop.
Well, I
they need to have.
But
they
make
need
sure
to have
you
open
know
carry,
the law. Yes.
Like they have out in Louisiana, for instance, where you can see a person got a gun on. So that's going to change your whole perspective about what you do.
That's right.
So it's like an attitude adjuster.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Wild Wild West was not that wild. It's all, you know, it's all a myth perpetrated by, you know, well-produced Westerns. Because after a while, people did not just say, you know what, I don't like the way you talk to me. Let's go out in the street and settle this. Because after a while, you realize, you know, you could die,
yeah.
you know. So it wasn't that. If everybody in America understood the Second Amendment, and everybody wore a gun, I believe there would probably be a spike in homicides. But I think the spike would reach its zenith, then it would trail back down again because people would get tired of dying. And just like Pianki said, you see somebody with a gun, you don't know if they can use it or not. So, you know, you may have been a big man in the as a bully in the you know, in the eighth grade in the schoolyard, but this guy's got a gun.
But see, you know what? In my opinion, are we doing mental evaluations on these people? This guy says, you know, I mean, he's 47 years old, and he says at the time of this altercation, no one had ever threatened him. So you think I think that man got to be 47 years old and nowhere in his life had he ever been threatened? That, come on. That's just not true.
Well,
you know,
see, the man was a software developer.
And you thought that was a threat.
He was a geek.
Yeah, he was a geek, so... I don't. The mill. He got the gun, so he should have done all that before. I don't mind states putting stipulations, which control who can have these licenses, as long as they don't get carried away with
them. Well, what kind of stipulations would that be? Besides, you can't be mental and have a gun, and of course, I think they say you can't be a felon and carry a gun. But besides that, what other stipulations do you want them to put on it?
Well, those two you just mentioned is a good start.
Okay. And I don't know if you are someone who's committed a crime or a felony in the past, if that should, you know, prevent you from having the ability to carry a gun down the road. I don't know if that's even fair. I mean, it's just like felons, ex-felons can't vote. That's just stupid.
Well, the thing about
that's
medicine.
A way to close the gap on who has rights and who doesn't.
Well, it's just like what they're doing now. With a firearm, with the Second Amendment, they're trying to limit the fact that you can't have more than seven, and they'll limit it to three rounds of ammo in your magazine. They're not technically telling you you can't carry a firearm, but what they are telling you is that you can carry as many firearms as you want, but you're going to be ineffective because you're going to have to reload at the speed of light in order to defend yourself. So, and I don't like the fact that the state or the federal government will have the right to determine who is eligible to carry a firearm. Now, somebody who's mentally unstable should not carry a firearm. I just don't want that particular right, that power to judge, to be in the hands of the state.
Okay. But, see, y'all got to look at this thing. Now is the time to get up and do something because Trayvon Martin, now Jordan Davis, who's next? Is it your child? Is it your nephew? Is it your brother? You know, I got brothers. I mean, and they play their music loud. I mean, they do. But, you know, they're not somebody who would, I mean, if you ask them to turn the music down, Some of them may, some of them may not. I mean, I'm just being honest
with you. Well, you need to talk to your brothers and tell your brothers to do everything they can to avoid confrontation. I mean, you ain't losing. You're just living to see another day. That's all it is.
And you know what? But the thing is, who would have thought just because you played your music loud, that would be a reason for somebody to kill you? I mean, really, like the young man said on the phone line, you were only going to be at the convenience store a few minutes. You were just going in for wine and chips. I mean, really, could he not have tolerated that music just a little bit longer? Or was something else going on in his life when he pulled into that parking lot that night? Was he already on the edge based on something else?
He probably was. There's something I wanted to say before I forgot. Do you know that before the Trayvon Martin case became public, there was another case which was similar to that, and it was a black versus white, and it was a black guy that got acquitted. But see, very few people knew that. And the white, and that's up on YouTube, and the people, I think it was either the relatives or the mother and father of the boy that got killed by the black guy, they were talking about how unfair the law was and everything.
About that black woman was at the gas station, and the guy was approaching her. I think it was white. I don't know if it was white or black. She went and raised her hatch and pulled out a rifle and shot it.
Well, I don't know. About
I think she got away with that.
I don't know. About
I don't remember where it was. I know the case you're talking about. She was a black woman. He was a black man. She said she felt like he really never touched her. He came toward her. He had an umbrella, and I think she said she felt in fear of her life. But if you look at the video, which they showed, and it's on the internet, the man really was not posing a threat that she could not have basically left from, let's just say that. If you watch the video very closely, she had plenty of time to get in her car and leave the gas station. She really did. She could have gone back into the store. You know, she could have left. But there was no reason to kill him. And I think what she did, not only did she go in the trunk and then shoot him, she shot him several times and then took her phone picture of him and then left the scene.
Wait a minute. She went into the trunk to get a gun?
Yeah, she went into the trunk. And what did she pull out? Wasn't it a shotgun? It was a shotgun. Yeah.
Well, that still would have been qualified as concealed weapon, though. So.
And what happened? What she did, though, at first she shot at his foot, and he jumped. I don't think it hit him, but it came very close, and he slapped her at that point, and that's when she staggered back and like unloaded like 6 or 7 shots, and after that she took out her cell phone, took a picture of him, got in her car and left. And all that's on video, and it's probably on YouTube somewhere.
Was she acquitted?
You know, this happened just months ago, so I don't even think that's on the trial yet, unless they just file charges against her.
You know, I'm going to make a prediction right now. The way women are aggressive, because last week I saw two women on the bus who were very aggressive in getting off the bus, just getting off the bus. How they raised their voices, how they spoke to men in certain ways just to get off the bus. I'm going to make a prediction that if it becomes pervasive in this country and becomes very popular for women to have weapons, you're going to see more homicides done by women who will say, I felt uncomfortable or I felt threatened, than you will by men.
I disagree. I think if that was going to happen, that would already be happening under Stand Your Ground. I mean, it's clear that law is being abused by males mostly. I mean, I don't see that.
But there's
there's
only about two cases that have come to light, the Trayvon Martin case and this case. In this case, I didn't know about. But if it becomes popular, let's say there is a slight embryonic stage of popularity. That embryonic stage is going to grow. And that growth is going to lead to women who will have derringers, they will have anything they can, and they will say, boom, and they will get away with it.
I disagree. You know, what I do see is a race war. Pianki, do you think we're heading toward a race war?
No.
Oh, you don't?
The only way you have a race war is government come try to take people's weapons. but I don't think it's going to be no race war. A race war for what?
Well, you don't see the state of Florida, if they keep coming back with verdicts like that, like this one and the one in the Trayvon Martin case, that people will eventually say, you know what, it's going to set something off like the Rodney King situation.
Well, that's okay. Those are two different issues. What you just posed, you asked if there was going to be a race war. That meant that we would have to think upon the situations as they are today. Then you introduced if the conviction rate is going to be the same or as it is now. In other words, a very low conviction rate. Then, if you see
No. Let me be clear on my scenario. What I'm saying is cases like if we continue to see cases like Trayvon Martin, like the Michael Dunn verdict tonight. Will that set off a situation like what we saw in Rodney King?
Well, what you going to have, all them black men that's married to white women, they going to start fighting in the bedroom?
That might start a race war.
I don't think so, y'all. I'm saying no. I think it's going to be in the street. I mean, that's just my opinion, because I think what's happening is you're posing the races against each other. You're saying if you go into a courtroom and a black man is killed by a white man, then automatically he's going to be found not guilty. I mean, everybody knows the tension when we saw Trayvon Martin, the tensions were high. They were high in both cases. And so I think what we're seeing is every time we see cases like that, things are divided along racial lines, always.
Well, blacks really want to show some strength. They should have moved to Sanford County and voted their prosecutor out of office. About 5,000 of them moved to Sanford County and voted her out of office.
That's Angela Corey that he's talking about. Okay, y'all, we're going to go to the phone lines, 901-299. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Hey, Sister Carrie. How you doing? Welcome to your guest. I'm really enjoying the show. This is Brother
Thank
Ron.
Thank you.
Yeah,
what are
your
thoughts on this verdict?
Well, first of all, I already knew it was coming because it took too long. It was too much of a slam dunk. Anytime there's a slam dunk case, it's always going to be the wrong verdict. Remember that. That's America. And also, as far as the race war is concerned, we already at war with black folks that sleep walking through the battle zone. We've been at war. Because the thing about it is you got young black men right now who are having white girlfriends. They don't talk about it, but a lot of these cases are where they're finding young black men hanging from trees. Like Cody Ingham, who was found less than 24 hours, taken from the tree of his white girlfriend in Athens, Texas, just after the George Zimmerman verdict. Well, you talk about the brother who got shot up in the police car with his hands handcuffed behind his back in Arkansas. A lot of these brothers were dating white women or white girls. So it's like going back to echoes of Emmett Till. And then Angela Corey, the same prosecutor who was involved in the Zimmerman trial, she actually dismissed the killers of Johnny Mae Chappelle, a mother of several children who was killed by a group of white boys in a car back in 1964 while she was on the highway looking for her wallet in Jacksonville, Florida. She actually invited the killers to her office, and by her doing that, they could never get charged for those crimes again. Brought up those charges. So Johnny Mae Chappelle, yeah, she got killed back in 64. I interviewed one of the detectives in the case, Sergeant Lee Cody, who actually lost his career because he actually found out the man who killed Johnny Mae Chappelle, him and his partner, back in 1964. These were white police officers who basically got blackballed by the system. So what people don't understand is, you know, back in the day, the reason why the FBI was able to solve a lot of these so-called civil rights murder cases was because the FBI was in the Klan. The FBI was the boss. You know what I'm saying? They had informers and people killing civil rights workers. This is not conspiracy. This is fact. Look it up for yourself. So what I'm saying is we're already at war, and people don't understand we're at war. It's really a shame that we're not teaching our kids that we are at war. They're killing our kids in the education system. They let Nicki Minaj come with her Malcolm X thing. But yet they're taking Malcolm X out the classroom up in schools in New York, right? You can't teach about Malcolm X, but we could degrade Malcolm X. You see where I'm going here? So what the thing about it is, they're killing our people. They're cutting up our, like the boy down in Philadelphia who got his genitals crushed by the female police officer in Philadelphia, an honor roll student, a basketball player. You know, he can't help kids. They're destroying generations of black people before we even get here by any means necessary. Like in Memphis, the clinic who cut out Sister Maggie Rose's baby's penis and not tell her. Her son's penis was cut off. They cut off another black boy's penis 11 years before her son. I met the mother of that kid. So you don't know how many things like this is going on undiagnosed. You talking about, Joe talked about the females acting up. Well, you know what? They putting all type of stuff in our food. You know, messing with the hormones, messing with people's chemical balances.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not even eating food. We're eating food products. That's crazy.
Yeah, but GMO, fluoride,
well, you know,
in the water. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of cases like that. But, you know, black folks bring a lot of this shit on themselves, too, man.
How do we do that,
Pierre? We bring a lot of this stuff on with ourselves.
How do we do that?
I wouldn't take my grandson wasn't taken to no white doctors during the time he was going. And now I wouldn't mind. But back during my time, hell no.
Really? So bad, but you know what? The thing is, what do we do about it? Because I agree with Ron. We're under attack.
I think it's going to have to play it out. And I think those who are actually, see, black's biggest problem in this country is economics. I keep saying that. You talk about schools. You don't have money. You got schools, but you don't have money to fund them properly. I'm not talking about public schools. I'm talking about private schools that do very good things. You got Joseph Little School there in Florida. It should be more of them like that. Blacks down in West Palm Beach are doing very well, and there's another area down there in Florida, I can't think of the name of it, where blacks are doing very well also. But, I mean, these are the times that we live in. But I think this is going to work its way out. It's just taking a longer time.
How many will have to die before it does?
They got to die. Look what happened to Ole Miss when Obama got reelected the second time. Those young white people rioting and acting a fool. I had a cousin down at Ole Miss. They just had their first black football homecoming queen. And then weeks later, they're rioting because Obama got reelected. These are not the old crackers. This is not the old white citizen council. These are their grandchildren and great-grandchildren that are acting a fool.
Well,
like
that's what they say about my kids, too. That ain't Pianchi. That's Pianchi's grandkids.
I teach
mine the right thing. But you can't have black folks, marching because white kids want to have an all-white prom, and black folks out there marching against that. There's nothing wrong with whites having all-white prom.
Well, it's nothing wrong with black folks having their music turn up loud. I would suggest everybody that's black out there to turn their music up real loud and get gun permits, turn your music up real loud, because social media has killed the art of the riot. We cannot have riots because we got Twitter and Facebook and stupid Instagram. We need to go back to the street.
Well, you know,
turn your music up and get your guns. Cause we have
what do you do when you got an old black woman right next to you? You know, black kids disrespect black people on that same issue.
Because we don't teach our kids their history. You want to teach our kids about Malcolm X or Fannie Lou Hamer or Rosa Parks? You want our enemy to teach our kids about who we are? That's why our kids are so screwed up, because you let your enemy be the primary educator of your kids for the last 50 years. This is the price you pay for.
Well, what are you talking about?
You
want to teach black kids to turn their music up and get their guns. Then why don't you teach them what you just got through saying?
No, but you can't blame the black kids for not respecting the elders when the elders are afraid themselves. They act like kids themselves.
All elders, regardless of what, they have a reason
everybody
for being afraid. Because when
you
ask them, you know, I'm going to tell you a thing. The one thing that black kids don't want to alienate is older black people, because they know how the system works. Now, you want to alienate them and go out there on your own, go ahead.
But they're not passing the knowledge on. I mean,
exactly.
I'll be honest with you, I've never met a generation of more ignorant people than the one before me now. I mean, that's sad, because they're not teaching like before. Generations always passed on the knowledge. They're not doing that now.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, they've given up on the generation, so they said, figure it out yourself. I figured it out myself.
Well,
that's not the way to do it.
Because the methods, because you got blacks who's against that themselves, Carrie. Anytime, for instance, look at when blacks say they want school choice, who comes out and say that they shouldn't have school choice? Organizations like NAACP and Urban League. And then your teachers' unions, which blacks are part of the system because they're earning a wage, paying into their pensions in public schools, and they expected to get something out. So they're going to be placid in those situations.
And these are the smart and wise black people. That's the problem. They don't represent all black folks. A lot of black folks are catching hell because of so-called Negroes that want to keep their positions in a white supremacist
organization. You are absolutely right.
We save black life. I'm not.
Especially
a
politician.
It's all from grassroots organizing and giving people the power to have self-determination. It never came from a president. It never came from a judge. It never came from a representative. It came from the people. Revolutions are started because people want land and bread. That's how you start revolutions. Revolutionaries don't start it. It's the people on the street that start revolutions.
But the thing is, your activists and your revolutionaries cannot lead black into the economic paradigm that they need to be in. It's going to take those blacks that's got the skills and the talent to do that.
Well, we got Dr. Clark Anderson. We had Dr. Amos Wilson. Dr. Clark Anderson gave us Powernomics. He predicted what happened for the last 20 years, and people ain't listening to him because a prophet is always without honor. That's biblical. But Dr. Clark Anderson is our prophet on Powernomics, on black economics, self-group, all that stuff. I mean, we had Elijah Muhammad. We had Marcus Garvey. We had Malcolm. How many prophets do we need until we start working on the blueprint? The blueprint is already here.
That's true.
Well,
that's true.
I see where they bring it back, Dallas, the series.
Mm-hmm.
Young people need to look at that and see how that family worked. If it's like the old Dallas, that was a good model that white folks was doing that we need to mimic. They started a family cartel and took it all to where it became a dynasty. And that's what you need to do.
We do the same thing. They did. Kennedy was a bootlegger. Joe Kennedy was a bootlegger.
No, they don't throw you in jail.
They throw black folks. We do the same. This country was founded by gangsters and pirates and rapists and bank robbers.
Well, we know that, brother, but they don't do that. I can name a lot of.
But
there's
Joe
black
Kennedy
people that's doing things.
Dynasty on bootlegging, man. We try to sell drugs and legitimize our family business. They throw us in jail for decades and decades. They decimate generations of black people.
They've been at war since we've been here. Well, next Thursday and Friday, the 20th and 21st at Tuskegee University, they have the 122nd Farmers Conference. Those blacks that's interested in farming need to go there, because there's programs that would help you get land. There's programs where you could get free cattle, free poultry, free goat in order to get you kick-started and going about your production.
But how is that going to stop the next young black kid in Florida from getting killed?
Well, it's better than nothing.
They were lynching Negroes 100 years ago down in Tuskegee. They still lynching Negroes now.
No matter what solution I come up with, you're going to have an excuse.
We had war.
You ain't seen no war.
This ain't serious. This is psychological trauma.
If somebody like George Zimmerman can kill a black teen for nothing, I mean, based on his own account of what happened, for nothing, and then we turn him into a celebrity, something's wrong.
Well, that's the way that goes.
Well,
black kids kill
what happened.
Black kids kill black kids also now.
Well, white folks kill white folks. So
white supremacy, man. You got more white folks committing crimes than black people. Come on now. You kill where you live.
No, not killing each other like that, they don't.
White folks are the greatest killers on the planet over the history, man. Come on. Nobody kill like white people.
But
white
folks are not killing each other the way black kids are doing.
They're killing black folks for profit. They privatize prisons. They close down schools. They privatize prisons. They organ traffic. They're killing black folks for profit, and black folks ain't getting nothing out of the economic deal. It's a five-year
deal. Why come the prisons aren't located in the black community? Because your politicians don't want them to be in the black community.
They're called churches. I mean, we are chained down by our religion. We're chained down by our lack of education, lack of opportunity, and lack of upward mobility.
All right, tell you what. You win this argument. I have nothing else to say.
I'm going
to
have
to agree
with
Brown lost the claim for the murder of Jordan Davis. Yo, let's go back to the phone lines. We're going to pick up area code 708-717. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Good evening, Carrie. I just tuned into the show. I saw a little lively banter going back and forth, and I see that people could become very emotional when it comes to things that happen in our community. I just like to state this for the record. I see what the subject matter is on the show. And I think it's a travesty that Mr. Dunn, Michael Dunn, was not found guilty, and I repeat, guilty of the shooting death of Jordan Davis. And in my humble opinion, it seems to me as though the state of Florida has an agenda set in place where they don't want to have that stand your ground law overturned. And it just baffles me how, as I followed the trial, even Mr. Dunn's lady friend contradicted much of what he stated during the trial. And to see how no weapon was found, how this man could walk from the murder charges, it just blows me away. And I also want to say this as well. I think it's time for the black community to just flat out boycott Florida. The only thing that people, the only thing that the establishment in this country tends to recognize is economics.
Mm-hmm.
And we, in my humble opinion, we should just no longer give our tourist dollars to the state of Florida. I'll be damned if I ever go back, you know, go to Disney World or Universal Studios. And maybe the message will be sent that black life is valuable in that particular state. And I don't just want to talk about just that particular state. You know, throughout this nation, these are just cases that have been highlighted in the media. This thing happens in all 50 states where a white person can kill a black person and walk. And it's sickening and it's sad. And I would like to see our community rally together. And if we can't get justice one way, and I don't mean to sound as a vigilante, but sometimes, you know, we're going to have to start taking things in our own hands and doing what we have to do as a community and let people know we can't be pushed around and our young men and our young women are not just there for, I feel like killing a nigga tonight.
Mm-hmm. Now, why is it that none of our leaders have called for a boycott on the state of Florida yet?
In my opinion, because they're all tied into the corporatocracy.
Mm.
Whenever you take Al Sharpton, for instance, he gets plenty of corporate donations. You take Operation Push on Jesse Jackson, plenty of corporate donations go to these particular organizations. And until we come to a point where we're funding our own organization, we'll never get satisfaction from that front because money talks. This is why I said we should boycott the state of Florida. And these leaders, they'll say so much just for lip service. But as long as you have Coca-Cola, Ford, i.e. any other type of corporation that is basically funding these quote-unquote civil rights groups, we'll never get any true lip service. And the true action to come from these people. Go ahead, brother. I don't mean to monopolize.
But at the same time, the same corporation are providing scholarships for specifically black students too, right?
Well, what's more important?
Let me just interject this briefly. There may be some scholarships given here or there, but look at the.
No, there's a lot of them now.
I would beg to differ. There's not a lot. It depends on your definition of a lot. But first and foremost, a few scholarships here or there does not equate the mass killings of our people across the nation.
Yeah, but the corporations, the corporations are not doing the killing, right?
Wrong.
And
let me give you an example of why you're wrong. Corporations like Monsanto that are killing people in mass,
went to a whole different type of killing. Now, I'm talking about as far as Florida is concerned. You said we should boycott state businesses in Florida, which, you know, I've seen that work before in the past, like with Burger King. But, you know, you got corporations, Coca-Cola, you mentioned Ford. Those corporations do have scholarships that specifically labeled for African American children.
But see, Yankee, I don't think 100 scholarships equals to the value of one single life lost, period. I don't care if you – I don't care if we lose 100 scholarships. I'm sorry, go work for your education. But I think we should put a value on human life. So the scholarship –
Well,
you're
not the one. Them kids that receive the scholarships think that because that's 100 children that ain't going to be on the streets. They doing something productively.
We're jumping above the fray of the problem. See, the problem is educating the younger children now so the scholarship could be worth something. So that's what I'm saying. When you're worried about life and you're worried about corporations giving scholarships, that's not really on the topic that we're talking about, but I understand where there's value there. But there's more value in trying to fund the true education of the elementary schools and the middle schools and the high schools first, because we're losing the battle in education. In America, all over America.
Yeah, you're right about that. We're losing the battle of education in America because one thing is that black kids are stuck in that one system called public school. And not saying that you don't have good public schools, I'm saying that black parents need to have full choice to send their children where they feel is best for them. And that could include a public school.
I don't know, y'all. I don't know. Ronald Hurd, your line is back open. Go ahead, Ron.
Brother's talking about these scholarships, these 30 pieces of silver, like it's a Judas thing, because there's a documentary called The Dark Side of Chocolate. This is The Dark Side of Chocolate. This is the horrors of the corporation through the prism of white supremacy. It's a documentary about the exploitation and slave trading of African children to harvest chocolate. That means all the chocolate bars and all this chocolate that the Western civilization is consuming is coming through the exploitation and the slave trading of African children by multinational corporations. Okay, so we got these corporations that are selling our people out, like Monsanto or Monster Inc. I call them Monster Incorporated, because they're making frankenfruit, unnatural, hideous things. So the thing about it is, this is why to our leadership, they've been brought and paid for by Wells Fargo, by Goldman Sachs, by all these entities that don't have our best interests at heart. Like people talking about Hillary Clinton should run for 2016. She didn't sit her old ass down somewhere because she can't relate to me. How can a person again paid $200,000 per speech by Goldman Sachs to relate to what people go through every day trying to make ends meet? How can a person that served on the board of Walmart for 6 years can relate to folks that got to go, who work at Walmart, got to go to the government to get EBT cards? We are our own worst enemy because we choose to be ignorant. This is willful ignorance.
Well, there's a lot of validity in what you're saying, but let me give you another example. Next month in Tennessee, Nashville, the National Society of Black Engineers would probably have 20,000 young black boys and girls that's involved in the STEM fields. Mm-hmm. And they all are looking forward. And many of them who's going to come there, alumni, have received scholarships in order to further their education. They're doing wonderful things. You can't stop that. That has to continue. But what you were talking about, these other things going on, they need to be addressed. And if we were to have more viable businesses, let's think about these elected officials. Elected officials go to businesses for their campaign dollars. They only go to people to vote for. People ain't giving no money to no politicians. These corporations do. Blacks don't have corporations like they should. And let me give you an example of where it did work out pretty well when you had Maynard Jackson, who was the mayor of Atlanta. Maynard Jackson took the airport contract and he took out a big chunk and said, this is going to black businesses. He produced black millionaire businesses that stood there to fund future black politicians' campaigns in order for them to be elected and do the best for the people.
So that's a long time ago. You can say Marion Barry, though. You can say Marion Barry in D.C. as well. But that's a long time ago.
May I interject briefly, please?
Yes, sir.
All of that is fantastic, and I agree with everything that's said. But let's not get sidetracked. What are we going to do about this mindset of white supremacy that is killing our youth? And I don't care how much education – excuse me, sir, just one moment, please. I don't care how much education you have. When you have a crazed, depraved mindset of white supremacy, that young man could have had the best education in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And had he been playing that music loud, he would get shot and killed that particular night. Let's talk about the issue of what we should do collectively to get these killings of our young people stopped by those that practice white supremacy.
Well,
and let's not say, well, we kill our own, too. That's another problem. Let's talk about this problem.
Well, we leave that off the table because that is another problem. But the problem with this verdict, that man should have been charged for murder. I agree with you. But the jury was the problem there, and not only the jury, the problem, the prosecutor who was prosecuting that man in behalf of the victim, they're at fault. I mean, they're defective. And I may not have been the only one that mentioned that, blacks need to move down to Sanford County in mass and vote that prosecutor out of office. That'll send a heck of a message.
Not only that, in my humble opinion, the brothers and sisters in Florida need to stand up. I'm not from Florida. I don't know what they're doing, and that may be a very unfair statement to make, but I would like to see some type of action being done by the brothers and sisters down in Florida, because they're the ones that's residing down there, and they're the ones that are the brunt of a lot of these vicious attacks. They need to stand up and let the state know, we're not taking this anymore by any means necessary.
Well, you can't change those people's mind. People hate, you know, it's not against the law to hate somebody, nor is it against the law to love somebody. So if white folks that's their business. I don't even worry about that. But the only thing we can do is, like Carrie, she said she had brothers. I don't know what your family situation is. One thing we need to be doing is sit down and talking to our young people and explain to them, do not engage in any unnecessary confrontation, because there's nothing to be gained from it. Just go ahead, bear it, and leave, and go on by your life.
Those young men were sitting in that car playing their music loud. He drove up next to them. So the confrontation started because he, you know, engaged them.
Well, maybe his parents
should have
told him the same. Maybe his parents should have told him the same thing.
But he has white privilege, though. He don't give a
because
damn about
the rules. Because if I had been in that car, I would have fired back at him because I'm concealed carry.
Well, guess
Bingo.
What? They were unarmed.
We need to have our young people learn how to shoot and legally and lawfully start carrying weapons.
I agree
and
with
that
you.
Makes
You're absolutely right.
For some, and that's what I mean by any means necessary. If you're going to just keep shooting young black men and black women in the street like dogs, you know, hey, I can shoot too. And I go to the range, and I practice, and I have my FOIA card.
If black folks are getting permit to carries in record numbers, all of a sudden, then it's going to be a problem in Florida.
No, it's not going to
be
a problem.
Would.
You know,
I'm
going to tell you so.
Yes,
you
can.
If you conceal carry, and if you in a verbal confrontation with somebody, he don't know you got that gun, but when you turn that left shoulder to them, they immediately know that something is getting ready to happen.
Well,
so it needs to be. I prefer to have open carry where you can see the gun, and that's gonna make them think twice.
You know what? I don't know. I mean, because you might have the Black Panthers open and carrying, and then you got the Klan open and carrying. I don't know if that's a good thing.
What are you doing? Playing the devil's advocate? We don't do every solution on the table, Liz, and you still want more.
Don't just say it.
Did you get anything for Valentine's Day yesterday?
Say what?
Did you get a Valentine present yesterday? You mad because you didn't get what you want.
Listen, we're not going there. Listen, y'all, I have come up with my top 10. I mean, my top 10, I mean this. My bucket list of what you people, you Florida residents, need to do. And y'all tell me if y'all agree. First of all, y'all need to vote out your current politicians because they ain't working for you. Secondly, I think y'all need to show up for jury duty down there. Third thing, I think y'all need to learn the definition of stand your ground, and you need to treat it like it's your favorite Bible scripture. You need to learn it and live by it. Fourthly, I think you need to get the permit to carry. Simply, I think you need to buy a gun, and I think you need to get you some ammunition. And then, sixthly, I think you need to pray for peace but prepare for war. And seven, I think you need to boycott Florida. Don't spend a quarter that you don't have to in that state. Eight, I think you need to rally that you have Stand Your Ground repealed in Florida or revised, because what you have on the books is not working for our community at all. Second, I mean, ninth, I think that Florida residents need to rally this thing. Don't let them get away with this. I mean, this is the time to stand up and say, listen, we ain't taking this no more. We're going to take it to the streets. We're going to do whatever we got to do, but we're not going to allow another Trayvon Martin or another Jordan Davis. And then, I think, tenthly, we got to demand that our black celebrities don't play Florida. Stop bringing money into Florida, period. If you're a black celeb, don't even play Florida, period. And I think that's what needs to happen. I think that's how you get changed, when you start putting into place what you're going to do. Stop talking about it and be about it. And if I lived in the state of Florida, I would do every single one of these things, because I know me. And that's the only way I think we're going to get change in Florida. I think we need to stop waiting on our leaders to show up and tell us what to do. I think we need to put our own bucket list together, just like what I just told you, and we need to start acting on it. Can anybody agree with me on that?
Well, Gary. It was a wonderful top 10. David Letterman would be jealous. Definitely, I agree with everything that you just stated. And like you just said, don't talk about it, be about it. There needs to be some organization down there. The people need to mobilize. And I'd like to add this as well, and we already touched on this briefly since I've been on air. You can't depend on a quote-unquote leader, because these leaders are in bed with corporate America. They will give some lip service, but they will only go so far. Grassroots is the way to go.
Well, the way to go is get to the point where you fund your own leaders and your politicians. That way
Absolutely.
You snatch the damn seat out from under. If we had our own businesses, then media and publications wouldn't write nothing disparaging about us, because they would be afraid we're going to pull our ad dollars. So that's the way that worked. Rush Limbaugh called that white woman a slut. He didn't retract it until he lost 30 advertisers. Then he said, I'm sorry. So you got to be able to hurt these people economically, like you mentioned earlier. Anybody else? This guy was a software developer. Suppose his company was doing work for a black business.
Mm.
Then a black business say, well, you hired this person. So that there is leverage.
See, you know what? All that Florida orange juice we've been drinking through flu season is just about over. Give up Florida orange juice.
I mean, boycott Disney World.
All of that. Disney World, Florida orange juice, anything coming out of Florida, stop buying it. Until they realize that, just like we talked about last night on last night's show, when the Montgomery boycott went down, black people decided we ain't taking it no more. And when they decided we're not getting on a bus until we get changed, it was 381 days later, but they got it. And I think that's what's going to have to happen in Florida. If it takes 381 days for them to respect us and respect the fact that black life has value, then we do it. Plain and simple.
Absolutely. And let's make it a movement, not a moment. Let's not have a short-sighted memory. Let's keep this in the forefront. And let's not walk away from it, because it's going to take time.
Mm.
And let's not be lazy and say, well, what the hell with it? You know, my babies want to go to Disney World, so I'm going to take them to Disney World. No, you don't. Because you slit your own throat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first thing I think we should be done is the least of any cost or any effort is to talk to your church. That's the least thing that people could do.
Mm.
I tell my grandson all the time what to do and what not to do. I take him out in the streets and show him that when you come out of the store, you're supposed to look this way and that way. If you parked over there, look behind your car, look in front of your car. If you see anything suspicious, then don't go to it. So you have to teach your children how to survive in the quote-unquote jungle that they find themselves in.
And you know what? It is a jungle. It's the Wild Wild West out there. I mean, and it's a cement or a concrete jungle now. But you know, when your child is out with his friends, just having a good time playing music loud, I mean, I don't see where I understand why that young man is dead. I just don't see how someone asking somebody to turn their music down turned into someone being killed. It just doesn't make sense. And I think we got to recognize as a people that we ain't valuing life like we should, because if we valued life, we'd all be in the street on this thing.
I'm going to tell you a hint. I'm going to tell you a secret. White folks figure that black people is not capable of having concealed carry. They think that all black folks like that. I think that blacks in Florida need to get their concealed carry. I think there should be a movement to have open carry in Florida the way it is in Texas, the way it is in Louisiana. People walk down with this stuff on their side or strapped across their shoulder. That makes you think twice.
Do you really think just because, okay, first of all, let's back up. You think that white people think black people are not capable of getting a permit, or what do you
say? They think that they have, many of them think that blacks have felonies,
okay,
that they can't have, that type of privilege, and so on and so on and so on. Especially,
but even
if
you can't get it legally, you can still have it. So that's just kind of, really?
Well, then you don't have no basis for self-defense when you got an illegal weapon.
I'd rather be tried by 12 than carried by 6.
Well, we'd rather do things the right way, Carrie.
I completely get that, but I'm just saying, if you are someone who can't get it, are you just going to let yourself be a target?
Well, I pick my friend. I make sure the friends I got around me is concealed carry there.
Okay. Okay, Bianchi, listen, I think ideally I agree with you. I'm not somebody who couldn't get a permit to carry. I have never committed a felony. I've never been in trouble. But I think there's a problem in Florida. That's why I'm saying people need to go about it right. The people in Florida need to rally. They got to come together. They got to do like Dino Dean says. They got to get some grassroots conversations going on down there, because when we get to at the end of the day, Trayvon Martin, you would have thought would have been enough for Florida. But there's been several.
You need to read the history. Read the history of Stanford County in a town that was called Goldsboro, where black men did stand up against the Klan on Broadway Avenue. Read that history.
And what happened?
No, read the history. Sanford County. Why is Sanford County named Sanford? And who is it named after? And what relations did he have with other parts in the world, like the Congo and King Leopold? Read that history. Then you understand why come there's so much strife and that's going on between blacks and white in Sanford County.
Okay. I'll take that challenge. Listen, before we close out tonight, anybody got final comments? Anybody?
Well,
okay.
I'd like to come aboard and just state this briefly. And this goes out to African Americans all over this nation, and not only just all over this nation, but all over the world. Boycott Florida. And let the message be heard loud and clear that if you don't respect our life, then we will not economically support the state, particularly a state where tourism is supreme and bringing revenue in for that state. Let's boycott the state, and like I stated previously, let's make it a movement, not a moment, and let's do it until we start getting justice in that state and they realize and recognize that black life has value. We love our children just as much as anybody else.
I agree. And that was Dino Dean with the Dino Dean Show. And earlier that was Ronald Hurd with We All Be Radio. That's left the conversation. Dino Dean, will you be talking about this verdict on your show Sunday?
I will be talking about it in the second half of the show, definitely. I certainly will, along with several other topics that I'm going to be talking about.
Okay, y'all to check out the Dino Jean Show Sunday at 5 o'clock, and I think We All Be actually is on Sundays at 5 o'clock as well. They'll probably both be covering the Michael Dunn verdict. But thank you tonight, Dino, and thank you, Ronald Hurst, for stopping by. And I think Dunny B with the Dunny B Show also stopped by. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Listen, tonight, I'm going to go over one more time, y'all, my bucket list of what I think the citizens of Florida need to do before we leave here. First of all, you need to vote. You need to vote out those current politicians you got because they ain't working for you. I think, second of all, you all have got to start showing up in record number for jury duty. Stop skipping it. Stop coming up with excuses. Go, because that's the only way that y'all are going to end up on juries and change the tide with the way some of these verdicts are coming in. I think to stand your ground law like you do your favorite Bible scripture. I think you got to know it. I mean, because I think only when you're confronted with a confrontation, you'll know what the law says, and then you'll know how to defend yourself. You also need to get a permit to carry. Everybody down there that can needs to get one. Also, you need to buy a gun. You need to get you some bullets, because I'm sorry, it's crazy. I think you guys need to pray for peace, but prepare for war down there. I mean, it's just crazy. I think y'all need to boycott Florida. That's just the way it is. I mean, absolutely don't buy or spend a quarter in that state unless you have to. Y'all need to rally against Sandra Brown down there. It needs to be repealed the way it is on the books in Florida, because it's not working. Florida residents need to mobilize. That's just plain and simple. And if you don't have a leader, pick one. Also, black celebs, don't play Florida. Plain and simple. And then stop waiting for a leader to show up. I mean, you know, in our community, one, we have two that we look to, and that's Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. They can't be out of 13% of the population. There's got to be more than two people that y'all can believe can lead you to the promised land, please. So don't wait on, if Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson won't boycott Florida, some other folks need to step up and do what they need to do. Y'all, that's
you know what,
tonight.
Colin?
And I you like
know
what,
Colin, black
I
leaders?
Have a show.
Say what?
You know why come black leaders don't show up? It's because they don't pay well in
okay.
the long run.
And, you know, and I think the boycott is very political, because, you know, a lot of times I'm sure there will be a lot of pressure coming from people saying, no, don't start boycott because you're going to cause a lot of black folks to lose their jobs. And you know, but, I mean, sometimes it just comes to where the rubber meets the road. Like I said, when we talked about the Montgomery March, those people had to make major sacrifices. They said some people had to walk as far as 20 miles to get where they had to go, but they had decided within themselves, we ain't taking it no more. And until they decide that we're not going to ride on segregated buses, and until they decide that they're going to hire black drivers on these buses, we're not going to ride.
But you know what? They didn't have to ride on segregated buses, because blacks had a prosperous bus company in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, called the Safe Bus Company. It started in the 1920s. It lasted until the 1970s.
Mm-hmm. But that wasn't in Montgomery, Alabama, though, where people were riding just the public transit system.
Businesses move all the time, don't they?
Thank you. I'm not going there with Sheldon tonight. Let's see. Thank you all so much for tuning in tonight. We'll be back here again next Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Central, 9 to 11 Eastern. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.